Tonight, the Broadway community gives out its highest honors, the Tony Awards. But every winner on The Great White Way has what could be called a shadow, someone who goes on with the show when the principal performer can't. There are no awards for understudies, but if one were to be handed out for endurance, I can think of at least one nominee.
I'm Heidi Stallings, and welcome to Cats on Broadway.
Almost every night for the past 12 years, Stallings has been going to the Winter Garden Theater as the understudy for the lead feline, Grisabella, in Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Cats. If the star goes on stage, Stallings stays in a backstage booth to sing with four other cast members. The extra voices are needed to smooth out the songs while the cats are dancing and tumbling around. But once in a while, she hears those magic words. You're on.
Largely, the call comes at any time. It can come at 4:30 in the afternoon. It can come at 7:30. I've gone on at 8:05. I've gone on in the middle of the show. I've gone on when the night before my father died. I've gone on the night I euthanized my cat. I've gone on with a corneal abrasion. The show goes on. I mean, you just kind of do it. You realize that you can do it under any circumstances. And that's kind of a joy in its own right.
Was your dream to be an understudy on Broadway?
No, my dream is to be the star on Broadway, as everybody's dream is. But, you know, I think that people have a misconception of understudies. And there are two, like, paradigms of the understudy. You know, there's the Ruby Keeler understudy, the Corrine, the sweet Corrine, and he says, you're going out there a youngster, but you gotta come back a star, you know? And then you have the Eve Harrington paradigm of this evil woman waiting backstage, plotting the demise of the star and how she's going to, you know, break her knees and get on stage. And I don't think that that's the case at all. People think that if an understudy goes on, they're getting a lesser show, which is not the case ever. I mean, I liken working in Cats or working in a big ensemble show as this is, as like a baseball team. And since I'm a big Yankee fan, I think of myself as Mariano Rivera, who is a relief pitcher, but he's not just a relief pitcher, he's a closer. He goes out there to win the game. Like that team, if somebody is out, there's somebody equally talented to take their place, and the Yankees are not lesser because of that. I remember going to see Pygmalion years ago with Peter O'Toole. It was Higgins, and Amanda Plummer was Eliza. And I got there, and O'Toole was out. But I stayed, and the understudy was phenomenal. And, of course, the audience stands up and gives him a big applause, you know, because they realized it was, you know, kind of horrible that you go out there and half the audience has left because you're not Peter O'Toole.
But do you remember his name?
No, I don't. And that's a terrible thing to say on radio. I don't remember his name. But if he's out there, you know who you are. You were wonderful. You were just wonderful.
At this performance, the roles, usually performed by Mark David Kaplan, are being performed by Bill Selby. And now, Forbidden Broadway cleans up its act.
Forbidden Broadway cleans up its act.
Just two doors uptown from the Winter Garden Theater, there's a show which has been running about as long as Cats, in various incarnations and at various venues. This year, it's at the Stardust Theater, and its official title is Forbidden Broadway Cleans Up Its Act. This sharp satirical review shamelessly takes the air out of long-running Broadway blockbusters, past shows with short lives, and one with nine.
Memory is my power, a memory. Even though Cats and Phantom will forever play on, I remember a time when all of Broadway was mine. Is that era ever gone?
William Selby has been in touring productions of Forbidden Broadway since 1985. He's now the understudy for both male leads in New York and on call for every performance. Sometimes he goes on in one role at the matinee and performs the other that evening. Selby says it's a cushy job.
I say cushy because having opened the show often and done the show 8 times a week for many months, I'm at a point now where when I was offered understudy in New York a couple of years ago, I said yes and found out very quickly that going on now and then was very pleasant. And those times when you can, I have to say it, when you sit back and you turn on the TV at 8 o'clock and you put your arms behind your head and you say, I'm getting paid for this, is very pleasant.
Have you ever experienced going into a theater expecting to see the star, seeing the understudy, his name posted up there, and like a collective sigh of, oh no, from people in the lobby?
Well, how about it's happened to me? We've heard people come into our theater. They hear that, let's say when Brian Batt was in the show, Brian Batt's not on, and one girl who was a real fan of his broke down and cried. But the best compliment you can get as an understudy, I think, is when people tell me the people are leaving the theater and they hear someone say, now, which one was the understudy? I love hearing that. You know, that says, hey, I did my job and I did it well.
When you came to New York, what was the best thing that you thought could happen to you?
The best thing happened to me the first day I came to New York, and that is I went to two auditions because I had become equity. I got my professional equity card. The first one was Phantom of the Opera. The second one was The Apple Tree at the York Theater. And within 2 days, I got that job. So I came to New York, auditioned for a show in one day, and got the job. And I thought, oh, that's what it's about in New York. Oh, it's so easy. Well, of course, you know, it's not like that. It was a total fluke, but it really was one of the best things that ever happened. New York offers so many possibilities, and maybe the best is yet to come, you know?
Best is an adjective that the producers of Copenhagen hope for at tonight's Tony Awards. Best Play. Best Featured Actress, Blair Brown. Best Director, Michael Blakemore. Written by Michael Frayn, Copenhagen only has three characters. Philip Bosco has the role of Nobel Prize-winning physicist Niels Bohr, Blair Brown plays his wife, Margrethe, and Michael Kumsty plays Nobel laureate physicist Werner Heisenberg. The three understudies are Laurie Kennedy, Tony Carlin, and Patrick Tovat, who doubts he will ever go on.
The character I cover is played by Philip Bosco, and he's missed, I don't know, maybe a half dozen performances in 40-odd years in the theater. I mean, he comes from the old school. You know, nobody goes on to play the part that he was hired to play. It's his work ethic. It would have to be something catastrophic to get me on. But that's fine. I don't begrudge Philip that. I think it's wonderful.
You must have fantasies about going on, though.
Of course. I mean, I would love to play this play. Our run-throughs, the understudy run-throughs each week are the highlight of the performance week for us.
What happens at an understudy rehearsal?
Today we ran the play from beginning to end, right straight through. In character, at pace, vocal levels up, ready for an audience.
Tony, will you get to rehearse with Blair Brown and Philip Bosco in the part for which you are understudying?
I don't think I will, because that's a lot of drain on their time. They have to do 8 shows a week. What we have gotten that you don't usually get with an understudy job is that we sat in on rehearsals, 3 weeks of their rehearsals, as well as having our own rehearsals. So we've gotten quite a lot more than other shows might get.
Patrick, why did you want to be an understudy in this show?
Well, I've been going out of town a lot to work, and I wanted to encourage my agents to look for a job that happened in New York City. I have a 6-year-old boy. I'm a single parent. So this came along, and I had no idea how good the play was and how much fun it was going to be to work on it. So I count my blessings because I took the job, and I'm glad I did.
How about you, Laurie?
I, too, wanted to be in New York, but I think the main reason was Michael Blakemore. I wanted to work with him. I saw Copenhagen in London and loved the production. Him, and I'm so glad he picked me because I got a chance to.
How much would the dynamic change if any one of you then substituted for the actor and actress that you are understudying?
A lot. I'm a different person than Blair. Patrick is different than Phil, and Tony's different than... I mean, it'll be a subtle changing, and it's not something you can really put into words. It's just different human beings doing the role.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
One of Broadway's biggest hits now is the revival of Annie Get Your Gun, starring Bernadette Peters and Tom Wopat. Peters herself won a Tony last year for her performance as Annie Oakley. Kevin Bailey plays the role of Chief Sitting Bull, but he's also one of two understudies for Wopat's part, leading man Frank Butler. I saw the show in April. There was an announcement in the playbill. At this performance, the role of Frank Butler will be performed by Richard Mewins. And it was, until just before the end of the first act, when suddenly Kevin Bailey appeared in the role. And he'd already been on as Sitting Bull.
We'd done the opening number. I was in full Indian regalia, which is no small trick, since it means about 15 to 20 minutes in a hair chair while they put a wig cap on, put my hair up in pin curls, and throw on a very complicated long braided wig and three or four layers of costuming. It's an amazing amount of time spent getting into that sort of getup, and it's also amazing how fast they can get you out of it. It's sort of like a pit crew at a race, you know, when they drive in and they can change four tires and gas up in about 30 seconds. When a decision is made of this caliber to do a star switch in a show, they swarm you just like a pit crew. I guess I hadn't planned on that analogy, but it's not unlike that. They strip you of one costume because, in my case, since I was playing Sitting Bull, one of the principal parts, somebody else also has to become Sitting Bull at the exact same time I'm becoming the lead in this case.
That's the exterior routine. What's going on inside your head?
It really is a moment of panic when you know it's going to happen. It's like, okay, you know the part. I have done the part a few times opposite Bernadette. But you still have to go to that place where, am I warmed up to sing this part? Sure I am. I can do that. And you almost have to, I mean, I'm not a Zen Buddhist by trade, but you do have to go to that very calm place in your body. Otherwise, the shakes come over you, as they do. Anyone, it's like, okay, I'm switching gears here. Just be okay. Because your mindset is not, it's not prepared to go on and all of a sudden star in the show. And then you go to those places of, okay, do I know all the words? When did I last say the words to this? I hadn't done an understudy rehearsal in almost a month as the lead. When you have to make a mid-show switch like this, it is truly an out-of-body experience. There is no other way to describe it, because before you can even take a breath, you're in another role. You are now starring in the show, and so there's no time to go out and suck. You really better be good. Nerves had better find another place to go. Your voice better show up, and you just have to be present on stage.
Kevin Bailey, who is performing in the company of Annie Get Your Gun at the Marquee Theater here on Broadway, currently in the role of Sitting Bull. You never know when he's going to show up as Frank Butler.
Come and see us.
To hold a man in your arms is wonderful, wonderful.
Our feature on understudies was produced by Carlene Windahl and recorded by Neil Rauch.